We've been walking through the kingdom corrections. The Lord is trying to bring people back to the heart of the law. He's trying to bring them back to the heart of God. And he's trying to correct, he is correcting, the traditions of the Jews, the rabbis who had taken and twisted the word of God to make it something else. And he's bringing it back. So we talked last week about oaths. And we're going to talk today about retaliation. And let me ask you this real quick. Is anyone in the room exactly like Jesus today? Just raise your hand. Okay, that means that God's word should be changing us. Some of the things we talked about the last few weeks have brought questions, and I love that. God's working in hearts. He's convicting people. He's dealing with you, and he's dealing with me, because none of us are everything we ought to be in Christ yet. He's working to put off the old man and put on the new man. So you ought to be challenged by the word of God to be changed. And I think sometimes we get very comfortable with who we are as a Christian. And so just know today God's going to work in your heart, and I pray that he does. Let's pray together, and then we'll read the scriptures as we hear from God's word this morning. Father in heaven, thank you for everyone who's gathered here today. We pray for those who are not able to be here. Bless them wherever they are, whatever's going on in their lives. We pray for healing for those who are sick and grace for those who are traveling. And we just pray that you'll speak to all of our hearts today, wherever we are. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us, that you would teach us, that you would bring us into your truth. Speak to our hearts and change us, Lord. Give us right understanding of the word of God today. And help us to use everything that we learn by your grace and your spirit to live for you, to continue in your word as true disciples. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus is confronting here our most instinctive impulse, which is when we are attacked to strike back. This idea of an eye for an eye is what ancient people would call lex talionis. It's the idea of proportional justice. Lex talionis is the idea that it's eye for eye, tooth for tooth. We might say tit for tat. You ever heard that? That's the concept that's being talked about here. Jesus' day, this idea had been twisted. And rather than being applied to justice and judicial systems, and rather than being applied as a restraint that someone wouldn't retaliate beyond what was taken or beyond what was done, it was twisted into an excuse for personal retaliation. In other words, the Jews had taught that you can retaliate personally for anything that's done to you, and that's not what this was about at all. So we're going to take some time to walk through this because I want to make sure that you understand. Jesus has said multiple times, you have heard that it hath been said of them of old time. You've heard that it hath been said. And here, when he gives this, it is a word-for-word quote from Exodus 21 and verse 24. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. This idea was a principle to restrain excess punishment judicially. In other words, if somebody stole $5 from you and you went to court, you wouldn't have to pay back more than was due. If somebody injured you, they wouldn't injure you in return more than you injured them. That's the idea. And it was given for the law. Tertullian said, the law prescribed eye for eye and tooth for tooth to restrain rage. Christ teaches patience that injuries be not repaid at all personally. And so we're going to try to walk through that. So I want to take some time this morning to walk through the Old Testament texts that deal with this idea of eye for eye. So find Exodus 21, verse 22. Exodus 21, 22 is where we're going to start. You'll walk through and find the actual truth, the application of the Old Testament, And then we'll look at the misinterpretation of the Jews of Jesus' day, the rabbis and their traditions. Exodus 21:22. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished, according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. You see the word judges there? It's important to the context. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. This is part of Israel's civil law given after Sinai. And by the way, this not only protects the woman, but it also protects her baby that she's carrying. Are you paying attention to that? I've actually had some online debates with people trying to defend the practice of abortion who brought up this verse, and I thought, well, that's brilliant. Like, this is exactly what the Word of God says. God's Word says that if a woman's pregnant and there are two men who are fighting and they injure the woman or cause harm to the woman and it causes her to go into what we would call premature labor, she goes into labor, has the baby. Now, what happens is they get in a fight, they hurt the woman, she goes into premature labor, has the baby. If the baby's fine, the guy who hurt her is still going to have to pay, and they're going to have to go to court, right? They have to go before the judges. And the husband's going to say, he hurt my wife, she had the baby early, everything's okay, but he owes me because he hurt my wife and caused the baby to be delivered early. But he's still tracking with me? Okay? So the law dealt with all kinds of stuff. Okay? So they were going to go before the judges, the baby's okay, and then there's still going to be punishment given by the judges. This is judicial. This is not personal. This isn't the husband just going out and finding the guy and beating him to a pulp because he hurt his wife. That's not what this is. There is a judicial system here. It's in the courts, okay? But then he says, if any mischief follow, what does that mean? It means that there's harm to the baby. The lady goes into labor, the baby is born early, and the baby has some kind of problem. There is a harm to the baby. If she has the baby early and the baby dies, guess what happens to the man who hurt her? Life for life. Because the life of the baby is valuable. But he's still with me, tracking with me? This is not so hard, is it? But if there's other injury to the baby, any other harm to the baby or the mother, both, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And I mean, it's detailed. Like, whatever the case is, whatever harm was done to mom and baby, that harm will be done to the person. Not by the husband, not by the dad, not by the woman, but by the judges. Okay, so this is a judicial system. That's what we're talking about. Leviticus 24, verse 17. Leviticus 24, 17. I just am trying to paint the picture for you of what the law actually says. You guys guilty of this? I don't know if anybody ever does this. You read something in the New Testament, and you know it comes from the Old Testament, but you don't actually take the time to go and read what it said in the Old Testament? Yeah, we shouldn't do that. We need to know what it's talking about. So we're going to go back and get the context. Leviticus 24, 17. He that killeth any man shall surely be put to death, and he that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. And he that killeth a beast, he shall restore it. And he that killeth a man, he shall be put to death. Ye shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger as for one of your own country, for I am the Lord your God. So what is this? Well, now we're talking about the idea of justice in Israel, and this is establishing equal justice for everybody who's in the land. It doesn't matter if they're an Israelite or if they're a stranger. In other words, a foreigner from another country, the law applies to everyone equally. Isn't that a brilliant idea? Apply the law to everyone in the country equally. Everybody lives under the same law. And it doesn't matter if you're from here, you're not from here, the law applies to you the same. Okay? All right, and here it is. If you get two guys get in a fight or whatever, And one of them knocks the other guy's tooth out. They go to court. The judges determine that's exactly what happened. They would literally have somebody either literally take his tooth out or he would pay an equal amount for the tooth. Okay? Personally, I'd rather give the money than the tooth. Amen? But the idea is it's inequality. And it set restrictions on the law. In other words, if you got in a fight with somebody or you went out of your way to hurt somebody and you hit them in the eye and their eye went blind, they wouldn't turn around and blind you in both of your eyes. That would be excessive. The judge was only allowed to go as far as the injury went. But he's still with me? Okay. All right. It's fair restitution. Somebody kills your cow, they have to give up one of their cows to you. Okay? All right. Deuteronomy 19, 16. Man, there's some hot button topics in the Old Testament, huh? I mean, we've already talked about abortion, and now we've talked about laws for people from other countries. Some of you getting, your blood pressure's getting raised right now, getting excited. I'm just kidding. All of you look half asleep this morning, just to be honest. Deuteronomy 19, 16. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both of the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest, and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you, and those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you, and thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. This is law before the judges, and it deals with false witnesses. What are we talking about? We're talking about your neighbor comes, he's mad at you for whatever stupid reason, and he comes against you and takes you to court and sues you for something that he says that you did, and the witnesses come together, and it's determined that he made it up. He lied. And guess what happens in the law, under God's law? Whatever it was going to cost you, if you were found guilty, that's what he has to pay. Like that, don't you? Isn't that good? Listen, you mark this down if you're taking notes today. God's law is good. It's good. And it always has been and it always will be. This deals with false witnesses. Listen, if they came at you and I mean, it's life for life. If they accused you of murder and it's found out that you're not guilty of murder, then they would be put to death. You guys with me? Hey, that's a big deal. So they had to pay exactly. This deterred false testimony, and it was applied by judges, not by individuals. Why does that matter? Listen to me. Did you notice that the Bible says, and thine eye shall not pity? Does that sound contradictory to you, to what you've learned from the Bible? There are a lot of people who would read this, and they say, well, that God of the Old Testament, I mean, he was cruel, and he was pitiless. And he had no mercy. But the God of the New Testament, Jesus, like, I like that guy. He's like, put down your rocks, right? I'm not going to judge you. Listen, he is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. What is the point? People in America today do not understand the concept of the difference between government and judicial justice and individual love and mercy. And you need to understand that. Okay? The government has a responsibility not to pity evildoers, but to execute right justice and judgment. Why? So people will fear. Don't pity them. Listen, this guy tried to have somebody killed because he accused him of murder. Don't pity him. Have him executed so that everybody else will know not to do that. This man tried to take this man's sheep or goats or whatever because he lied. He was a false witness and it wasn't true. He tried to take everything he had. Well, you take everything he has so that he will learn not to lie and everyone else will learn not to be a false witness. You understand, when the government acts like it's supposed to act, it deters evildoers. That's the purpose of the government. And that's not an Old Testament exclusive thing. I'll show you that in just a second. But understand, this is for judges, not for individuals. This isn't for you to go out and retaliate. This isn't for vigilantism. This is for the word of God applied to the law and the lawgivers, judges and justices to be done. And it's really critical that we get that. I heard about a case in California. This is a long time ago. But there was a rapist who was before the judge, and the judge had pity on him. He felt pity for the rapist, so he let him go. And that man went out and raped and murdered a 9-year-old girl. And then he had pity for the little girl. God's word says that a judge isn't supposed to have pity for evildoers. You know, have pity for criminals. That's not the place. Now, as individuals, we are to have pity, mercy, love, and grace, and forgiveness. The love of Christ that's beyond our comprehension. We're to have that as individuals for other people. But that is not the job of a judge, to have pity. Okay? Let me prove it to you with the New Testament. Romans 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let's see if I can get your good American red blood to boil this morning. It's in our nature, it's ingrained in us that we don't like authority. Is that true or is it just me? I mean, it's just we don't like authority. We don't like being told what to do. We don't like to put ourselves under anybody. That's why, by the way, God has to tell us over and over and over again to humble ourselves, to be subject to authorities, to respect other people. Like, we have to be told over and over because we don't like it. When we're kids, we don't like being told what to do. When you go to school, you don't want to be told what to do. Some of you don't even like your boss to tell you what to do, and he pays you. So it's just against our nature. But praise God, he's given us a new nature. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. Now, we might understand this better if we change the word power to authority, because that's what it means. Let every soul be subject to the higher authorities, for there is no authority but of God. The powers or authorities that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation or judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he bears not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. What's he saying? The authorities that exist in this world are there because God put them there. Okay? You don't have to go any further than the Lord Jesus to figure that out. Who had authority to have Jesus crucified? What's his name? Who had authority to have Jesus crucified? Pilate. Pilate had the authority. And you remember? Jesus said, you would have no authority at all except my Father gave it to you. You guys with me right now? God gave authority to Pilate. God put Pilate in that position, gave him a position of authority and power to say whether Jesus, the Son of the living God, would be crucified or not. He gave him that authority. And if Jesus could say so and recognize that, friend, you ought to too. I mean, it's the American way to suspect the government, right? It's the American way not to trust the government. It's the American way to try to get around the laws and find the loopholes. I mean, it's our favorite thing at tax season, right? To find a way to get out of paying our taxes. I'm so thankful that two or three of you would amen that. Listen, I'm not saying doing anything illegal. I'm just saying that you find the ways to legally not pay your taxes. I figured everybody would amen that. What's wrong with you people? I'm not saying we shirk our responsibilities. It's just the American way. But I'm here to tell you, those authorities that exist, you can cry about it, complain about it, hate it all you want to. Whatever president you voted for or didn't vote for, he has authority. He has that position because God put him there. The one that's there now and the one that was there last time. And the time before that and before that and before that, all the way back. Well, you don't like that. That's okay. There's no way they get to that position of authority unless God puts them there. You would have no authority at all unless my Father in heaven gave it to you. And it's true for presidents, and it's true for judges and justices. It is true for governors. It is true for city officials. It's true for anybody in a position of authority. You didn't put yourself there. God did. That means from your position of authority in your home to any position of authority you have in the church or at work or anywhere you are, any authority that exists in this world, God put it there. And in Romans 13, he's talking about government authority, especially in the idea of judgment and justice. And they have that authority to execute wrath on evildoers. They're there for the purpose of putting the fear of God, even people who don't believe in God, God gives them the authority to execute judgment and justice so that people will learn to fear God. That makes sense to you? I just wonder how many criminals in Sequoia County today actually fear the law. Brother over here is like, none of them. None of them. Why? Because so many times, those who have been given authority of God don't act in accordance to the word of God. They don't do what God has appointed them to do. They are appointed of God. Did you notice that? As his ministers. They're servants of God whether they believe in him or not. Isn't that awesome? Listen, God used Pharaoh. He used anybody. The sword symbolizes the right to execute and enforce justice, even capital punishment. And they are limited by the authority God gives them. But you get this. This idea of judgment and justice is for courts, not for individuals. Okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Romans 12, 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. Personal retaliation is forbidden by God. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. This is exactly what Jesus is getting at in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. You've heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And what had happened was the rabbis had abandoned the fact that this was judicial, that this was to be done by the judges, that it was in their place to retaliate. They had taken it and applied it to themselves. So now they were going out and retaliating. Now they were going out and getting vengeance for themselves. And they were saying, listen, the Bible says eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. I'm just doing what the Bible says. But they weren't doing what the Bible said at all, because this was for the judges, not for individuals. Retaliation, it is reflexive for us. You guys ever go to the doctor and they do the little thing where they set you down and they hit your knee with the little hammer? Do any of you, like, are your reflexes broken? Any of you, like, it doesn't work like it's supposed to? And they're like, anybody? Okay. Sometimes mine are broke. They just don't work. That they're checking your reflexes. Like, they hit you with the little hammer in your knee, and your knee just goes, bloop, it's just reflective. So you don't think about it, it just happens. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? All right, just checking. But he's ever had that done before. Like, okay, what's my doctor been doing then? Nobody else has had that? Okay. Reflexive. Somebody comes at you a little sideways. They come in a little hot. They're upset. They get a little loud. So what do? You get a little loud. Somebody comes at you, they're a little bit snarky. I can be a little more snarky. You guys know what I'm talking about? And you get it. They get loud, so you get a little louder. They get mean, so you get a little meaner. Like, we have this in our nature to respond and react with this retaliation. And friends, it's all rooted in our pride. And God says, this eye for an eye is for measured justice, not personal revenge. Personal vengeance is forbidden by the word of God, by the Lord himself and the writings of the apostles. Civil governments ordained by God to carry out justice, and Christians must submit to the authority that God has given to us. So the rabbis had misinterpreted this. They had misapplied it. And what was meant as a judicial restriction to say, don't go beyond what's been done to somebody in your judgment, they had taken and used it as a license to seek revenge for themselves. So what does Jesus say? I'm going to start walking through Jesus' correction. We're not going to get very far this morning. We'll try to get further this afternoon. And by the way, when we come back at 1 o'clock, we're going to continue with this message, not only the content, but some Q&A. We try to do that on Sunday afternoons. I don't know about you, but when I study the Bible, I usually have a lot of questions. And so we, on Sunday afternoons, we try to take the time to do that. So you want to be here for that. So Jesus first says, whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. I thought about getting a couple of guys up here to illustrate this, but I was afraid somebody would actually hit somebody and then people would be mad. And we'd have like a live stream of what not to do, Judge Judy. But most people, I know there's some southpaws in the room. Can I see my left-handed people? Where are you? All right. They say one in four children, and that happened for us. Our fourth one was left-handed, but most people are right-handed, the majority of people, and so when it talks about slapping you on the right hand, the idea behind that is that this is a backhanded insult, okay? So if I had Zach come up here and I wanted to slap him on the right cheek, I wouldn't use my left hand to do that. I would give him one of these. You guys ever seen that? Now, this isn't an attack. Like, if you want to hurt somebody or kill somebody or seriously injure somebody, you don't give them one of these. This is an insult. And could you just imagine, Brother Mike, how mad would you be if somebody walked up to you and just went, be bad news. Brother Mike would struggle with the scriptures that say, vengeance is mine, right? Says the Lord. Mike would volunteer, Lord, I will execute your judgment right now. This was a backhanded insult in Jesus' day. This isn't like a physical attack. And I think a ton of people are really confused about this. Because the idea of somebody attacking you and you turning the other cheek, there's just something in our heart like that just doesn't seem right. Like if somebody comes at you and they punch you, they attack you, they strike you, you're just supposed to stand there and say, give me another one. Like that doesn't seem right. Well, it doesn't seem right because it's not right. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that somebody has insulted you. They have insulted your integrity, your character. They have insulted you as a person, and what the Lord says is you take those insults. In the Mishnah that was written later, it notes that striking a man with the back of the hand requires double damages in Jewish law because it was considered the gravest of insults. Okay, so the Jews considered this an incredible insult, not an attack. Jesus says when you're insulted, believers need to respond with meekness and not retaliation. Proverbs 19 and verse 11 says, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is the glory to pass over a transgression. 1 Peter 2:23 tells us what the Lord Jesus did. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. If somebody insults you, I want to remind myself of this reality. If somebody insults me, I'm far worse than they even know. I deserve far worse insults than anybody could hurl at me. But Jesus deserved no insults. There was no insult or reviling that anybody could give that Jesus deserved. He was perfect, sinless, God himself in human flesh. And when they reviled him, he didn't respond. He didn't retaliate. He didn't attack them back, and he certainly could have. That's meekness. Meekness, friends, is strength or power under control. It's when you have the ability to strike back. It's when you have the ability to attack and you don't. Now, that could be physical or not. Like, some of you might be brave enough. I'm not going to go slap Brother Mike on the off chance that I'm not quick enough to get away. I'm not going to do it. Because if Brother Mike got a hold of me, it would be the last thing that ever happened in my life. It's not just that. People insult you a lot of times with your words. And some of you are very quick-witted. And you like to, you know, put that on display when somebody insults you. And just let it go. Right? It's not just our physical actions, it's our words. And the Lord is saying, when somebody insults you, you take it. You take it. Why? Because that shows the heart and love of Christ. Who do we want to be saved? Some people? That person who insulted you might be somebody that you could win to the Lord, but not if you retaliate. That person who insults you might be somebody that you could share Christ with later, but only if you respond the right way. And when you respond with the love and grace of God, when you respond with the love of grace and God, then it opens up the door for the gospel. Charles Spurgeon said, "He who masters himself under provocation is master indeed. It takes more courage to forgive than to fight." It takes more courage to forgive than to fight. This morning, I'm going to ask our musicians to come. We're going to stop right here for the morning. This afternoon, we're going to pick up right where we left off. But I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, please. We're talking about retaliation. It's all about how we respond. And I don't know how you think, but in my mind, there's a difference between reacting and responding. Reacting is quick and it's without thinking. Responding means that you stop, you pray, and you respond with the leadership and the grace of the Holy Spirit of God. Everybody in this room has been wronged. Okay, we'll check. Raise your hand if anybody's ever wronged you. All right? Now raise your hand if you've ever wronged anybody else, right? So we want to give the same grace that we want to be given. If God's convicting your heart this morning about anything, I'm just telling you that the only reason all of this forgiveness and mercy and grace is even possible is because Jesus, when he was reviled, he didn't revile again, but he willingly went to the cross to pay for our sins. If he's convicting your heart about anything today, to trust him, to be baptized in following him, whatever it is, if he's convicting you, come while we sing.